Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
So you know how we always did these myths where we used ourselves in them, like as we put pictures or made robots of ourselves? But like there was one day, I don't know why, but the entire blueprint room was just filled with atoms. I wanted to look up close and I targeted it, and the first photo I saw, there was a naked picture of himself on a couch in this collage.
Welcome, MythFits.
Welcome to MythFits. I'm Carrie Byron.
And I am Tori Belleci. Thank you guys for coming back and listening to our podcast. We are feeling the support and we thank you.
I can't tell you. I am just like so filled with gratitude. This feels like going home again because our old MythBusters audience are all texting. Well, not texting. They're DMing me on Instagram.
How'd they get your number, Carrie? You're like, I posted it. I wanted to get in touch with the fans.
It's so cool. Like everybody's just like, oh my God, I miss you guys. And so it's just, it's really awesome that they're all coming along and joining this conversation and subscribing. And it's just, we are full of so much gratitude. Thank you guys. I'm having a little bit of an issue right now.
Is this something that you want to share on the podcast?
Yeah, I'm going through something. We're going to get real. So I've got this childhood trauma. Are you ready? Should I lay on the couch? I've got this childhood trauma.
Jeez.
My parents had this house that was really rickety and old, and the walls were insulated with newspaper. There was the foundation was basically like floorboards and straight to the ground.
Explain that. Why would the walls be insulated with newspaper?
It was so old. There was only like one light bulb in the house when we bought it. This was a teardown.
Okay.
And it was like our family was going through something, and like we finally got a house, but it was a rickety house. Like you'd lean on the porch and the whole porch would lean. Like if the washing machine was going, one of us had to go sit on it so the whole house didn't shake. So
you're
my
like, let's fill the walls with something really flammable. That's a great idea. You didn't.
Well, I mean, like
somebody did. Somebody who built this house did this.
It was practically historic because it was so old. Like there were Coke bottles buried in the backyard that were like collectible. We sell for hundreds of dollars because people just used to throw their trash out there. Like it had just recently got some electricity. Like it was not to code and not historically good in a way that we had to keep any of it. And so I lived on a sun porch where we had just put plastics up on the screens to make it so that, you know, I wasn't living in just a dirty sun porch. And this house had rats, like a lot of rats, and not just like cute little rodent rats, but like rats that were like a foot long without the tail, like big, giant, secret and nimble rats.
Rats are not cute by any definition.
Some people think they're cute, but these were like dragon
rats. Filthy, dirty,
gross
street rats.
You could hear them like on the roof. Like one of them died in the rafters and we couldn't find it. So we just like didn't go in the kitchen for a couple months while it rotted away. Like this was not luxury living. So we finally just started putting tons of poison out to try to get rid of these rats. And we had traps and we had everything. And you know, at night I would hear them chewing through the floorboards. So I just wouldn't sleep because you'd hear like,
oh my God, did
you live? And just like the nightmares of it. And I remember walking into this room and one of the rats was dying from the poison and it was just gasping for life. And it was huge. It was like a small dog going, rah, rah, rah. And I have rat issues. Like during Mythbusters, when they covered you in rats,
yeah.
I was like excited that I got scorpions.
Wait, was that was Grant. Grant had the rats.
I
remember
right,
they started pooping all over his head. They were literally crapping all over him, right? I did snakes. You did scorpions. Grant had rats. And
yeah, I was like
filthy
relieved.
Animals.
Relieved when he got rats because yeah. That meant that I didn't have to do it. So anyway, I have cute little mice in my garage because there's construction a little, you know, like three buildings down. The construction's going off. And I think it chased a bunch of mice out into all the other houses. And I don't usually have mice. And now I've been catching them like every day. And yeah. It's triggering me so hard that like last night I went full crazy. Like there it is like platoon in just traps everywhere, just Hunger Games for mice all over my garage.
And you're trying to get rid of them yourself? Get an exterminator, somebody, a professional in there. What are you nuts?
That is the next step. But in the meantime, I DIY everything. So I bought all of the like smell packets and cayenne and cinnamon. I think it's like I'm doing my own Mythbuster episode on mice because I did all that. Then I bought an ultrasonic weird thing that just like changes frequencies and goes and like lights go off and it's like
so what this is supposed to repel these. This is supposed to get rid of the mice. All these.
It's supposed to get rid of the mice.
Home remedies.
So I've got that, and then I've got like big rat traps that I keep catching. Mice that for some reason I think they're going to be like zombie mice and come back to life. So when I try to pick them up with grabbers from a distance or a shovel while I'm being the squealiest little girl about it, I'm like, because I keep thinking like they're going to move and throwing them in the trash. But then like last night, I don't know if you remember on the show, like somebody gave us a bunch of laser sights for guns. And I remember a long time ago I used to use them and I can't find them, but like, I've been just like sitting in the garage with this BB gun, like just like ready to like shoot mice. I'm like losing my freaking mind right now.
I kind of feel like you are a little bit. That's a little. So you're posting up and sniping mice.
I haven't hit any, but I did make a trap go off. My shot is not that good, but
Carrie,
it's.
Do you know how crazy you sound right now?
I know.
You're shooting a pellet gun inside your house. Don't you have a dog?
My dog has been useless. She just like goes to where I might. I know. I don't know why. I haven't trained her to catch the mice yet. She's dry. She's not helping. And I just don't want her also in the garage while I'm targeting the mice because I just don't want to accidentally clip the dog's tail or something. Anyway. I was texting you. This is a long story, but you and I have been texting about Mission Impossible coming out all week. And like, I was texting you when I like dropped the phone and grabbed my pellet gun because I was like, and I started just like laughing. I'm like, this is Mission Impossible I'm on right now. I know.
That's how we're going to get into Mission Impossible. That story?
I mean, we've been talking about
you
it all
shooting
week.
Mice inside your house like a lunatic, and that's how you want to get into this podcast? Mission Impossible? Impossible? Okay.
I didn't know I was going to tell you this story. We've already been into my therapy. Now
you went way out there to come back to this.
Notice I'm wearing a shirt right now that says Madness. Maybe
you're
chose
a little,
it for a reason.
You should check. Do you have CO2? Detectors in your house, you might want to check your oxygen levels inside the home.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Okay, so I was just on an airplane, and obviously, like, I like to click through the movies a bunch, and there was just all the Mission Impossibles. And so, like, it got me really thinking. Like, I was binging the episodes, and I was thinking of all the times that we tested heist myths, or on White Rabbit Project, like, we didn't have to dive into them. Like, we've definitely covered this subject a lot, and it's so fun.
Yeah, in fact, one episode we did was called Mission Impossible.
I know, it's so hard to say.
I still have a hard time saying it.
So why do we name our podcast Myth Fits, just to make it hard? Yeah,
no, Myth Fits rolls off the tongue. Mission Impossible does not.
Yeah.
But we did one episode on kind of all the tropes that you see in movies, you know, heist movies. But it did so well that we went ahead and did another Mission Impossible 2, where we were testing modern day security systems and, you know, gadgets. So, Carrie, you remember in the episode, we were basically just trying to test all the kind of cliche security systems that you would see in a movie. And so what we did is we built this elaborate like testing playground where we set up all these different security systems and then we tried to see if we could beat them.
I mean, yeah, some of them were the cliche stuff, but some of it was like actually real life tech back then. I mean, we were trying to beat an infrared camera. We were trying to beat the thumbprint lock, real life espionage with the mask. I mean, there was a lot of cool stuff in those episodes.
Do you remember the Puppet Master? I love that we have this nickname now. If you guys don't know, the Puppet Master was one of the producers on MythBusters. I remember that one time where the Puppet Master kept yelling at you when we were doing a promo for MythBusters, and you were supposed to be like Catherine Zeta-Jones inside this room with all these lasers, and you would like look one way and look back, and he was like, "Look 3 times, 2 times, look." And he was just yelling at you. And then finally he was like, "You need to get acting lessons."
I mean, I think he was having his Kubrick moment or something. Or maybe I made him mad that morning. But we did that take 80 times. And during that take, I was doing this sort of like yoga move where I was trying to split my leg. I was sore for days because we did so many takes, and like I wanted to cry by the end because I'm like, just show me what you mean. I don't understand what you're saying. I mean, this is just a promo. And I actually got an email from the editor. It was like, whoa, what was happening that day? I'm like, I don't know.
Oh my God.
My favorite, which is, I loved the one that Jamie and Adam did with like the face off, where they just like, because that is such a trope of the movies where you think you're looking at one character and then the mask comes off and it's actually another character. And like they tested that for real. They got these masks made that were molds that looked just like their heads. And it was freaky.
Like you see this in espionage movies where the hero puts a mask on and they can infiltrate the bad guy's party or whatever. And nobody recognizes the hero because of this mask. And so Jamie and Adam were like, let's see if we could actually fool people with these masks.
You know what's so crazy is like, yes, I've seen it in the movies all the time, but what I didn't realize is like, this is real life. I was just scrolling the other day through Instagram and this clip came up and I was just like, oh my God, this is exactly what we've been talking about. Like this actually happens. Like truth is so much stranger than fiction. Okay, roll the clip.
I wore those masks in a couple of pretty tight situations and no one knew until I announced it. I wanted the president to see that we had taken this guy to a really dramatically new level.
Did you take one home?
Whoa,
as a souvenir?
That's unbelievable.
Are you in there? Is that you in the mask?
This is just me. And in the image, yeah, that's me. Taken off my head.
This video depicts a woman who was a CIA chief of disguise. That is an actual job. That is a title, chief of disguise. She's wearing a mask just like Jamie and Adam made, like a full head mask with a wig. She's sitting in a meeting with the president at the time, just like not making, you know, not laughing or making too much facial change so that she could just like prove that this was something that they could do. And she pulls the mask off to show like, hey guys, I've been fooling you. Like she's the pranker. Chief, have you ever heard of a chief of disguise? That's real.
It is crazy that this is stuff that they're actually doing in spying and espionage. Like in the movies, you're like, that's so ridiculous. There's no way they would do that in the field. But it turns out they're doing that in the field. That's amazing.
And have clearly been doing it for a long time because they're like, this was with President George H. Bush. That was like a really long time ago.
Well, you know what? When I was in college, I was taking a makeup course. And one of the exercises, we were learning how to do facial hair and we had nose appliances. And so we had to make ourselves up and then go to somebody that we know to see if we could fool them. And I remember making myself up. I had a goatee, a fake nose, and I went and stopped at my Nana's house and I knocked on the door and she opened it up and she was like, oh, hey, Anthony. She thought I was this kid that lived up the street from her.
No way.
And then I was like, Nana, it's me, Tori. And she was like, oh my God. She was like, I swear to God, I thought you were Anthony so-and-so's son.
Oh my God. It makes me wonder, like, what else was taken from real life? Like, did they?
Right?
I'm sure they had consultants that were like, all right. Like, it's just too crazy. It's too crazy. I can't believe that was real.
And these masks are not cheap. I mean, they're like hundreds of dollars, maybe even more, because they were made out of silicone and like each of the hairs were like hand punched and they were really expensive. And so they each had masks made of each other and these things popped out of when they pulled them out, you're just like, God, they look so good.
Dude, I wonder what they ever did with those masks.
Right. You know what? I think I asked Adam, I was like, are you going to go home and have your wife wear that mask? You could see what it's like to make sweet love to yourself.
Oh, my God. That was the same day. Okay. So you know how we always did these myths where we used ourselves in them, like as put pictures or made robots of ourselves. But like there was one day, I don't know why, but the entire blueprint room was just filled with atoms, just like filled with atoms. And like I walked out of there and I was already just kind of, I'm ready to like razz him on that. And I walked into his office. And he had just made, like, everybody was making these at this point, like, a collage of his own face made out of pictures of himself. So, like,
he just set
himself up so well. And I walked in, and I was gonna make a joke, but then, like, for some reason, like, I just targeted in when I wanted to look up close, and I targeted in the first photo I saw, there was a naked picture of himself on a couch in this collage. I was dying. He didn't know because he just like made the collage and just used all the pictures.
He didn't know that there was a naked picture in the bunch of pictures that he put into this program.
He had no idea. And I'm like, dude, you're naked. He's like, what? I'm like, you naked.
Oh my God.
What?
But isn't it weird how you zoned in on that one photo? It's funny how subconscious works.
I just have like a magnet for naked men or something. I don't know. That was just like where I zoned into. I was
like a moth to the flame. Naked Adam.
But like, I mean, you just can't unsee your coworker naked. Like, I feel like it's hard to look them in the eye or take them seriously for a minute. I feel like for like a little while there, I just like no eye contact. It was like, I'm just avoiding the office, avoiding the office.
Leading up to that experiment, what they did is they brought fans into Mythbusters and they had Jamie and Adam stand at the end of the shop and the guests would come in, look down at the end of the shop and they were hiding behind a black curtain. And so basically they would step out and ask the person, who is that? And they'd be like, oh, it's Jamie or, oh, that's Adam. and then they would pop back behind the curtain, and then they would get them closer and closer so they could tell at what distance did the fan recognize that it was somebody in the mask.
I mean, it was creepy because they did the same thing, had Grant and I, because, you know, we're very familiar with the guy.
Right.
So they had us come in and do it. And it was just like, I remember just being like, something's off, but I can't tell what. It's like when you see somebody who just shaved off their mustache and you're looking at their face and you're like, well, this is your face, but I don't know what's different. Like, there's something different. It was so creepy.
Do you remember that they brought in an acting coach to teach the other how to act like the other? So, like, you know, he was like, okay, Jamie, look at Adam. Look at the way he, like, you know, flops around and he's, like, very dramatic in his movements. And then he was like, Adam, look at Jamie. His arms are crossed. He's very stoic. And so he had this acting coach, because if it was just the image, or, you know, just the mask of that person, just by the way they were standing, you could tell it was somebody else. And that, I think, was such a huge key in fooling everybody, is because not only did they look like the other person, their body movements were the same. And so that was I thought that was really interesting. Psychologically, it was like your subconscious going, picking up on all those body movements. It was like, oh yeah, I think that looks like it's them. I don't remember why I wasn't there. You and Grant went over to test this experiment. I forget why I couldn't be there, but what did you decide? Were you able to tell which one was which?
Fun fact, I've got really good vision. I had like double good vision back then. Probably not as good now, but I was creeped out. Like, I was creeped out. It wasn't right, and I felt weird about it immediately, and I didn't say anything just in case, like, I just didn't want to insult them. Like, why are they looking so weird today? But I figured it out much faster than most people did.
Because I think the shop, it was like the distance of the shop, and you were standing at one end of the shop, and they were at the complete opposite end, and you would go, who's that? And you knew,
away. I was like, I knew there was something weird. Something weird.
That's awesome. And what about Grant? How did he do?
Took him a little bit longer, just a little bit longer. But he also doesn't have as good an eyesight as I did.
Yeah.
But what was really funny is, like, Jamie's dog, Zero, was trained. It's a therapy dog. Yeah. And it was trained to go to Jamie when they're like, find Jamie.
Yeah.
And the dog kept going to Adam in the Jamie mask.
Yes.
And the explanation was that, like, Jamie's scent is all over the shop. So the dog couldn't just go to the scent. Like, it deferred to its sense of vision because Jamie's smell was everywhere. And it kept going to fake Jamie, which was so weird.
I remember that. And that blows my mind, because you think a dog is going to be their perceptions are way higher than ours, you know, because, like, they use them to, you know, track down bad guys, you know, following the scents. That you would think Adam dressed up like Jamie, the dog would instantly be freaked out, right? But he wasn't.
Maybe the dog will figure it out sooner or later. Zero, I love that dog.
What were some of the other ones we tested in that series of myths? We did We set up an entire maze. Do you remember this?
We built a shop within a shop. We built, like, hallways and, like, a system.
Air duct. We created an air duct system. I mean, it was like there was, like, a vault. We had a vault, which was the bomb bunker that we created. Do you remember the bomb bunker? It was a shipping container, shipping truck container. We lined it with bricks and cinder blocks, and then we cover that with plywood and 2x4s. That was inside the shop, and that was the vault. That was where the money was going to be. And so we had all these alarm systems that you had to get through, you had to pass in order to get to the loot.
It's so insane. That must have been when we were, I know that our shop was way, way out in the industrial district. It wasn't a place that maybe OSHA came around to. Like, we had a bunker that we would shoot inside, indoors, that we cut windows out of and just put up our own bulletproof glass. Like, that's kind of insane in hindsight that that was there. But yeah, it was completely functional for what we were doing. So it was awesome. Grant was outside with his control center. He had his computer set up. We had cameras everywhere. We had a lock that you had a thumbprint.
Right.
We had infrared camera. We had an ultrasonic alarm. And then
there was like an infrared laser that we had to get through. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Weirdly, I went back and looked at the episode and I was really excited about, I played dress up. I had a whole crook outfit. It was so 90s.
I remember part of the episode, and this was one of those like fun moments where they took us all shopping to get all this tactical gear. So we went to some surplus store and it was like, okay, pick out your cat burglar or your, you know, whatever you want, all the gear that you want in order to try to break into this facility.
I wish we still had all those clothes. I had a tactical vest. I had some cool, weird black pants. I don't know what happened to all that stuff. It probably ended up on mannequins that we blew up at one point, but like, it was fun. We could be cat burglars now.
I remember when we started testing this, Grant was like he was like control central. Like, he was in charge of all the alarms and seeing if we could beat them. The first system we had to beat was a infrared heat signature alarm system. And so it could see if there was a big change from cold to hot, and then it would set off the alarm. And so our idea was, okay, if we could hide our heat signature, then we could potentially get past this. And I remember one of the techniques we used was you took a CO2 fire extinguisher and sprayed it on me. And we had this set up with the infrared camera and the background was blue. I was orange. And as soon as you sprayed me with the CO2 fire extinguisher, I went cold and I disappeared from the infrared camera. We thought, this is going to work.
Yeah, which it was a scuba suit though. So like it wasn't going to like, I don't know, give you frostbite. It was, you had like a protective layer on.
Carrie, you sprayed me in the face with the CO2 canister.
Yeah. I mean, you were a little bit of our guinea pig crash test dummy at that point. It did cool you down though. Like you looked invisible on the camera. It's just by the time you got to where the camera was in the experiment, like you started to heat that suit up and like, it wasn't long before. Poof,
well, yeah, it didn't work at all.
Your bits heated up.
I was hot back
then.
Yeah,
you were indoors. Oh my God. No, you were in one of the, you were in a scuba suit.
I mean, like looking back, you sprayed me with the CO2 canister, but by the time I got to the camera, I already warmed up. And so it set the alarm off. I feel like if we could go back and do it today, we would build a suit that you could just wear and it was constantly cool.
We would have done a lot of things different. That would have been a much better idea.
Why didn't we think of that? That might have worked.
I mean, we were pretty run and gun and we were pretty low on budget. That would have cost too much because if you remember, the next thing we did was we covered you in mud. You stripped down to your undies and we covered you in mud, like cold mud. And even put it on your head, your whole body.
And then that was from Predator. Right. When Arnold Schwarzenegger is in the mud and the predator is coming down and he quickly covers himself up and hides his heat signature.
Yeah. None of those work very well. It was very raw. Like when we were doing the ultrasonic detector that was, you know, it would shoot off waves and measure the amount of time it took for the waves to come back. And so you basically had to make yourself invisible. So they're like, okay, go get a rug from a store nearby. And so I went to go find the thickest rug I could. And I walked into a local store and we're like, hey, dude, can we put you on camera? And the guy at the front desk is like, okay, sure. And he showed me the rugs. And there was this one rug. It's called a Flocati rug. I hadn't heard of it at the time.
That was that big, fluffy, yellow, ridiculous rug
that I made a Muppet costume of. But like, as he was getting it down, this poor guy like falls off his ladder onto the ground. And I met him years later and he's like, my friends made fun of me forever for that. Like, I was the guy that fell off the ladder.
That was so
funny. We filmed it. We put it all in.
Poor guy. He's trying to be cool on camera and he just eats it.
I mean, that was kind of us every day. And that didn't work. The big rug, like, but that was that's it funny set off because the alarm.
I didn't remember. Now that you're saying it, now it's all coming back that it was because of this fluffy suit that would absorb the sound wave, and you would be able to beat the alarm. Is that was the theory behind that?
That was a theory. We had a bunch of weird theories. Another one.
Oh, but it didn't work at all.
It didn't work. It didn't work.
Carrie made this ridiculous, like, puffy, yellow, fluffy suit. She looked like Big Bird.
Yeah. It didn't work. It was so much work. It was so much work. Though.
It was so ridiculous. It was so perfect. But it didn't work.
Do you remember what actually beat all of the thermal cameras? It was some ridiculous stuff.
Like to the point where you're just like, this is, it can't possibly be working. It's so lame.
Like the sheet. Like walking in with the sheet.
So Carrie took a big sheet, lifted it up, and that was enough to hide her heat signature. I think it was the infrared, right? And we were all just like dumbfounded because we're like, that's it? She just held up a sheet and she walked in and the alarm didn't go off.
We also tried to get the room up to temperature to make the room body temperature so that we could be invisible when we got in. Yep. But the heat blasting into the room set off the alarm immediately. Yep. So then we're like, okay, we're going to mask ourselves. So we're going to put a piece of glass in front of the camera so that it's just filming the glass and it sees no heat signature. And I actually tell this story a lot. And when I went back and watched the episode, I realized I embellished it in my brain quite a bit because that's what old people do. But like you, me and Grant were trying to come up with a way to put this piece of glass in front of the camera. And Grant's like, I got this. So he built this arm that was mechanical and it was supposed to like reach in and put the glass on. And he was having so much trouble because it didn't have an angle. So then he added an elbow and he was just like over engineering this awesome stick. And then, he was getting so frustrated.
Finally,
I just grabbed a crowbar and put the piece of glass at the end of the crowbar and then got a little bit of yoga on and then stuck the piece of glass on. And we all started laughing because, like, we'd been working on this robot arm all day and we're like,
and Carrie brings out a stick.
You're like, you use the poke it with the stick method. From then on, if we ever got like two in our heads and things were too complicated, you'd be like, poke it with a stick. Yeah. Just poke it with a stick. It was like our version of keep it simple, stupid. Yeah, poke it with a stick because we were dying laughing that worked.
I completely forgot that because he was just like spinning out trying to get this thing to work. And you're like, doink. Poke it with a stick.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
So we tested one security system. It was from the movie Entrapment. It was Catherine Zeta-Jones, and Carrie had to like get her way through a room full of laser beams and like duck under them and maneuver around them to get past this field of lasers. And I don't know, I think we might have used some lasers, but then they were too sensitive. And I remember in the movie, Catherine Zeta-Jones gets her like makeup powder out and she like blows into the air and that causes her to see where the laser is. And then she's able to like duck under it or maneuver around it. Carrie and I set up these lasers. She pulls out the powder and she like blows into it. And I'm wearing these night vision goggles because that's the only way you could see these beams. And I was like, yeah, I could see it. And then Carrie does it again, but she blew so much that it actually broke the beam and set off the alarm. So we're like, okay, this is not going to work. Let's come up with a different technique.
I mean, it kept setting off the alarm over and over, like every time we did it, because it was just, it was cool for the movies, but in real life to get enough powder to actually show you where they were, it was like a lot.
There was one system we were testing and it was a thumbprint lock. And Grant had set up this lock. He set it with his thumbprint. And so he was the only one that could open it up. And so Jamie and Adam's job was to get his print so they could take it back to the shop and figure out a way to recreate that print to see if they could open up the lock. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah, because they had me as a double agent.
Oh, that's right.
Grant was wise to it every time they tried to get his fingerprint, you know, but he evaded them. But I had watched a lot of Law and Order at that point, so I knew exactly what to do. You basically just have to, like, make him touch something and then, like, steal that evidence. So I brought him a bunch of CDs to copy. This also dates us. So I brought him a stack of blank CDs to copy, and then he touched one of them, and I went and picked it up and took it off, and I was like, oh yeah, I was a double agent.
I double crossed our own teammate.
I know.
He was so bummed.
They told me to do it.
But the thing is it actually, they took that thumbprint back to their shop and were able to make a copy of it. I think Jamie made like a ballistics gel thumb, and then Adam did latex or something.
Yeah, they also just like photocopied it as like a joke.
And three worked.
The photocopy worked. That was hilarious.
It was like this company was like, this has never been broke. Nobody has ever beaten this lock. This thing is, you know, protected technology. And within like three attempts, we were able to break in.
I wonder if they went out of business after that episode, if anybody figured it out.
Or maybe
at least they must have had to at least update their technology.
Yeah, no kidding.
Tori, you think you could be a spy?
I don't know if I have the nerve for it. Like, I feel like I would break under pressure.
I know.
Why? What
right?
about you?
Well, So when Mythbusters ended and I was sort of in one of those like panics, like, what am I going to do with my life? I was like, okay, now I got to get a real job, right? So a friend of mine, like a family friend, she was a headhunter, and she's like, okay, well, you need a LinkedIn profile. I'm like, I don't even know what to put on a LinkedIn profile. I haven't had a resume in like over a decade. So she's like, we'll make a list of all the things that like you can do, and we'll figure out what that is. So I pulled this little list up. It's on paper because that's how old it was. And I made her this list, half joking, but like kind of real. I'm like, okay, let's see. I was asked to eat live bugs, donate every single body fluid, including flatulence, was locked in a coffin with 50 scorpions, attacked by a police dog while covered in wolf urine, dove with sharks at night in baited waters with only a flashlight, crash tested cars and semi-trucks, jumped from a 100-story building, in and out of planes, wired explosives at heights, was forced unconscious in a fighter jet, fired a Gatling gun in a secret location with an arms dealer, taunted a giant alligator with a raw chicken by hand, stopped a moving truck with a 50-caliber sniper, was blindfolded on a roller coaster, implanted with an RFID chip, set off hundreds of pounds of explosives, and walked many a carpet in 4-inch heels. I know. And she's like,
what's funny, I was thinking, like, I was like, oh my God, my resume is very similar to yours.
Yeah. And my friend's like, the only thing you're qualified for is like possibly like espionage. And like, none of these skills are applicable to a real job. So I'm like, all right, I guess I'm staying in showbiz.
You're like Liam Neeson.
You're like Liam Neeson.
I have a very special set of skills.
I mean, think about it. Over the years, like I can barely type, but you and I have done some crazy stuff.
No, it's a trip. All the crazy stuff that we have done, and it's like nobody else gets it. Like I can't really talk to anybody else about the experiences I have, except for you and the people that we worked with, because nobody has done all the ridiculous things that we've done.
I know. I'm a therapist, a doctor, nobody. I just got you, buddy. I just got you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are at the end of the show. And what we love to always do is take at least one audience question. So I'm going to throw this out there. What was your go-to lunch order while working on Mythbusters? This one comes from Brian Hanna.
Like the majority of the time, whenever we were on location, we didn't want to order hot food because by the time it got to set, it was always cold. So we would always go with like sandwiches. That was what I remember.
Or cheap food. I mean, I do remember like they were pretty stingy back then. So like you'd get pizza, but it'd be all like the cheese would be all gelled. And like you and I would be out on the runway just like eating cold pizza without taking a lunch break, like just welding.
Freezing our butts off. There was one time we ordered sandwiches and we had the sound recordist who she hated mustard with a passion, like hated it.
All right, so we're here with Allison Ryder. She is actually our sound recordist on Mythbusters, and also she is a hater of mustard. Isn't that right, Al?
This is absolutely true, Tor.
Why do you hate it? I mean, when did this hate start?
So as a kid, I was having to do the dishes, and I have to touch this yellow, horrible stuff, and that's where it all started.
And so she would always tell the runner or the PA who was going out to get lunch, she was like, make sure there's no mustard on my sandwich.
No and mustard!
She would throttle them. And so I remember this one time, Matt Cordova, he was our runner at the time, and he brought back sandwiches. She opened it up, and there was mustard on it, and she threw the sandwich down on the ground, and it exploded. She was like, I said no effing mustard. We were dead. Oh,
granted,
my God.
These days were so long. People were so cranky. And Al's a wonderful person, but she had a meltdown diva moment that day. Poor
Matt
Cordova.
Funniest. He was looking at her like, I didn't make the sandwich. Like, why are you yelling at me? It was just that image of her spiking that sandwich and it just lettuce and turkey and when it, you know, the bread, everything exploding. It was like, this is one of those memories that I love on Mythbusters.
Well, yeah, it also turned into an inside joke. Even Al was in on it later. Like, she was even going, no mustard, because, like, you know, we all have our, like, we worked a lot together. It's like family, and you could just, like, razz your family for the rest of their lives over these moments. And poor Matt Cordova, like, he was our runner in that era, but, like, now he's like a successful comedian and actor out in LA, and I see him pop up all the time.
Yeah, we need to get him on because I would love to hear his side of those stories. You know, it's funny. I had a chance to let her redeem that moment. I did a YouTube show called Blow It Up, and we went out to the desert, and in her honor, we blew up 100 gallons of mustard, and it was just like, it was so beautiful. And she felt vindicated.
Matt Cordova got put through the paces as our runner. Like, not only did we have the big mustard incident, but I don't know if you remember this. I was still breastfeeding when I came back to set. And so, like, I would be in the back of the van, like, pumping my boobs while being on the, you know, the radio going, like, what are you doing? Yeah. And so, like, I had, like, we were on this, like, dirty bomb range,
I totally remember this.
And, like, I needed a place before I had my own cooler. Like, I had these little bottles of breast milk that I just, like, put the caps on. But, like, I'm so tired. Like, I'm not sleeping. And I guess I didn't put the cap on tight enough. And I put it in the, like, the Mythbusters, like, snack cooler, like, that everybody has access to. And Matt accidentally, like, picks it up. And he's like, what's this? I don't know what exactly why he was handling this. But it opened and it got all over his hand. He's like, what is this? And I'm like, dude, that's my breast milk. And he's like,
that's my precious breast milk. That's my mother's milk.
It was like he had like acid on his hands. He's like, what is this? He's got like babies now. So I'm sure he's cool with it now. But back in the day, he was he was young. He'd never dealt with that kind of thing before. And I just like violated him with my bodily fluids.
Again.
The glamorous world of television. And with that, thank God we're doing a podcast now.
On that note, thanks for tuning in again.
Thanks for subscribing. Thank you for following. Thank you for all of the great reviews. You guys have been so wonderful to us.
Yeah.
Tori, I'm going to call you so we can go watch the next Mission Impossible. And that's it. Mythbits out.
Pioneer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Unlock big savings and add style and security to your home with high-quality Schlage door locks from Menards. Whether you're looking for a traditional interior lock or a Wi-Fi compatible electronic lock, Menards has you covered. With more than 200 options of Schlage door locks in stock, save big on all door locks. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.